Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It is Wednesday, June the 18th, 2003, and I thank each one of you for your patience waiting for me to get here. My talk show host this morning was 20 minutes late getting there to get started. At this time, I'd like to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 188.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 188 authorizes the Department of Transportation to distribute monies from the Elderly and Disabled Transportation Fund to Indian tribes and declares the Indian tribes to be public transportation entities. This bill comes to you on a 27-2 vote out of the Senate and a unanimous vote from the House Transportation Committee. The schedule for public hearing this morning, because I think of some concern on the potential impact to counties. This does not have a fiscal impact to the Department of Transportation because it would simply allow a reallocation of funds within the Special Transportation Fund rather than increasing or decreasing the total fund. Right now, a significant portion of that money is distributed through to counties on a population basis, and then there are some discretionary grants that become available. If this bill were to pass, right now the pool of discretionary grants could be affected by the level of the tribe participation, but it doesn't affect the total resources available. Just another thing to note to you, based on House Bill 3231 that you passed out of the subcommittee last week, the Special Transportation Fund, if that bill were to pass, would actually have more resources available to it. So, with that, Mr. Chair.
Very good. I'm ready to take some testimony. And we have Lewis. Rick. Yes. I should know. Hey, long time no see. I see Warm Springs down here. Now I know who we're talking about. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman.
Sorry about the delay.
Sure. For the record, I'm Louis Pitt, Jr., Director of Government Affairs and Planning for the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. I'm here to testify in favor of Senate Bill 180, which would authorize the Oregon Department of Transportation to treat our tribes as a transit district and make funds available to the tribes from the Elderly and Disabled Special Transportation Fund. Warm Springs Confederated Tribe strongly supports this legislation. It carries out the legislature's intent with Senate Bill 770 from last session, the bill that codified the state tribal government-to-government process. Senate Bill 770 was meant to involve state agencies with tribes in collaborative work, and we applaud ODOT, Oregon Department of Transportation, for putting into practice this into practice with Senate Bill 180. This can give our tribe much-needed help for elders and disabled transportation. Our reservation is split down the middle by the Wasco-Jefferson County line. Without this legislation, our tribes would be begging to the Jefferson and Wasco counties for financial help for our seniors' transportation program. This has gotten some result in our corner of these counties. Jefferson and Wasco counties have received a total of $739,000 from the Trestle Special Transportation Fund in the last 12 years. The Warm Springs has received under $5,000 of these funds to serve the Warm Springs Indian Reservation. Senate Bill 180 will make this distribution fair by giving our senior programs $38,000 per year based on this year's budget. Senate Bill 180 will allow us to transport our elders to medical and dental appointments and to events that help preserve our language, three languages we have on reservation, four with English. Some have said that our tribe should not get this money because the local counties would lose some money. They will receive slightly less money directly, but the net gain to our counties will be over $35,000 because our senior program will use the money in Jefferson and Wasco counties. Also, the amount given to the tribes without passage of this bill would increase, offsetting both the loss to rural counties and any fiscal impact of the bill. This bill is really about fairness to Indian people and about giving life, not just lip service, to Senate Bill 770. We urge the committee to recognize its importance as a token of the legislature's good faith and signal to tribes that Senate Bill 770 is more than mere words. We assure you that we will hold up our end of the deal and use the money wisely and well. We urge the subcommittee to approve Senate Bill 180 and so correct the inequity in elderly and disabled transportation funding and honor the government-to-government relationship. Thank you. And again, we've one of the almost the humorous sideline is that we've had elders very much on our case about this, and Michael and I kid around about it. I can't go back to the reservation if I get the elders mad at me, so I'm in tough shape here. So
we're bailing you out here. Yes, Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions. On the $739,000 that the two counties have received over the 12 years, mm-hmm. and you've received $5,000 in direct funding yeah. from them, do you get indirect services out of that, out of the rest of the money? Are there countywide services to support Warm Springs? Or?
Well, Chairman, Representative, I'd like to say it's 50-50 on all services, but mainly the tribe picks up the bigger end of all the services that we interface with the county on. We have on-reservation activities that are virtually 100% ours on almost everything. Enforcement, we do have cooperative efforts where we, you know, trade on and off with them for search and rescue type things, and again, we do help them also. In this area is basically we have applied for some new dollars that would be a fairly large amount under the old system, but that hasn't come into it, and that would be something to get a new vehicle. So I'd say the burden of that has mainly been on us to take care of our own services.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just in the past, there were substantial dollars that came through to help tribes from the federal government. Was there anything to help senior and disabled transportation for the tribes that comes directly to you through the federal government?
We do have dollars that they're real hard to get because of the 500-plus tribes, and we're historically well underfunded on all fronts of the treaty promises to us on education, health and welfare, law enforcement, et cetera, so we do our best at it, but it certainly isn't anything that we can really build a program on or anything comparable to the 1% gas tax that the state would offer in this situation.
So the money that you were talking about then for purchase of new vehicles would be the program that's through ODOT?
Yes, it would be.
Okay. All right. Is that available to you even with outside of this distribution?
Yes, it would be, Chairman. Okay. Yes, it would be. Is that we would figure out what our needs are, and we would go do what I call the dance with the Jefferson County Transit group and talk to them and take our place in line.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. Historically, what has Wasco and Jefferson County what have they provided in terms of special transportation for the tribes, for the tribe?
Through this program, through the as Chairman George had mentioned, through that program, very little. I think the discretion dollars that we received will receive are going to be through ODOT itself rather than the counties.
Follow up. I guess I'm trying to get my arms around what special transportation dollars are used for. I assume that's for senior busing, mm-hmm. for taking care of citizens with special needs, making sure they get the care and the assistance they need.
Yes, Chairman, Representative, the elders have social functions that they attend that do a lot in helping with their language and cultural preservation. But the very serious part of this is the medical side, which is the reservation has a wellness center which has, I think, a fairly decent, it's not the greatest, medical center. And it can't do everything. So we have transportation needs to Redmond, which is a therapy center, and also to Bend, which is another area, and occasionally to Portland to get folks medical needs for the disabled and elderly.
Have those counties those counties denied service to the tribe?
No, they haven't. Our cooperative efforts have been, I think, probably at the forefront on this, is that we just haven't, not to add more to your question, but to be honest, is that we haven't asked them as firmly as we should in the past about, and we put it in here, is that because of the climate, the tribal county type of climate, as you may have heard with some counties, is that it is a very, it's kind of a stressed relationship at some points. And again, when we ask for money, all of a sudden people come up short. So we've been hesitant to push on this. But we do have these serious needs for medical and therapy and such that we have to get folks to and fro from these places off reservation.
Thanks. Senator Morris.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. What are the dollars that we're talking about that would come to the Warm Springs?
Well, yes, for us is that we've got it figured to be around $35,000. Michael Mason is here, tribal lobbyist for Warm Springs. Chairman, if I may.
Certainly. Absolutely. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, my name is Michael Mason. I lobby for the Confederate Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation of Oregon. Based on last year's funding, we would actually receive, as I understand it, about 40, or the maximum we could receive, I think, is $42,000. I'm going to defer to ODOT, Mr. Chairman and Senator, on the what they think the numbers would be on the projected budget. But that would have been, I think, what we would have been able to receive under last year's budget figures was $42,000.
Follow up?
I'm not real clear. We have services currently being provided. The funds would come to you to enhance the existing service or to create another service internal?
Chairman, Senator, it would be both. Is that we're proud of the existing services we have. They do work, and we'd like to add on to those. And plus, I think the collaborative efforts between us and the counties is that, if I have any say, that if this bill were to pass, is that the Transit Committee, Commission, whatever we have on reservation, would, again, push towards a more collaborative effort on this. But this bill does, I think, as I'm a government guy and a tribal entity, is that the key thing besides the funding and the collaborative effort is the honoring of our tribal government. And that's really one of the critical points that I'm looking towards. And so there's a long history that you can talk about where Oregon back in treaty days is that we ceded to the U.S. government the lands, and then they gave to the counties their being. And so for us is that on the bigger picture, on the governmental side, it's correcting a situation that has gone far too astray of the state honoring us as a sovereign. And so that's kind of a complex story. So it's longer than that, but anyway, it's kind of a thing. If you most tribal people have a very emotional reaction to this, as I'm getting to also, but anyway, for your initial question is that, yeah, I'll stick with that previous answer. Michael.
Mr. Chairman, could I attempt to amplify that answer a bit? Mr. Chairman and Senator Morris, I think the question really goes down to who's currently paying for these services. And the great majority of the money is coming from tribal coffers, from the tribe's own money, not mm-hmm. from federal dollars, but from the tribe's own money from its enterprises. So the tribe has been trying as best they can to do this, in the under self-sufficiency, but that's not cutting it at this point. And the fact is that unlike some tribes in the state, the Warm Springs tribes is in a serious recession, and I don't know that that's commonly known. You know that the number, tribe has had to lay off 120-plus people in the last couple of years. Timber cut is way down, as it is in most areas that are timber-dependent, and power sales are down, and those are the two primary sources of funding for the tribes, so for the Warm Springs tribes.
Let me ask you, too. I'm still having a hard time getting the picture. Right now, you do receive some services for senior disabled transportation from the county, but you also run a parallel or tribal-only operation for transport?
No, they're one and the same. And
So it's a joint operation, cooperative operation now?
Yes. I think in practicality it is governmentally, as we put the tribal label on it. As any sovereign would do, is that, we're not clean with how we use dollars, is that, if you've got a program that helps your people, your real government, which is the people, is that you'll get the dollars where you can. And right now we do, as Mr. Mason has said, we do need the dollars because of the recession, severe recession we have on reservation.
Questions for these two? Thank you very much for coming all this way.
Thank you, Chair and Committee.
At this time we have Justin Martin. Justin, he's still there. Okay. And Confederate Tribes of Grand Rock.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Justin Martin. I'm the Intergovernmental Affairs Director with the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, where I'm also a tribal member. Today I want to talk just a little bit about the policy of Senate Bill 180 and basically the bottom line, which is this bill is in the true spirit of government to government. We saw Senate Bill 770 pass in the last legislative session. A lot of you were a part of that. We want to make sure that these relationships continue at the state government level with the tribal government. The bottom line here with Senate Bill 180 is really the efficient delivery of services for elderly and disabled folks within communities. Now, I'm not talking specifically about tribal communities or within the counties and the localities, but more importantly, how does this affect our citizens and what can we do to best deliver those services? In our case, we do not draw these STF funds currently, but we do see this as an important step in the policy of being able to access these funds for all nine tribes throughout the state without having to go to a transit authority or the county or another designated governing body to have the ability to receive some of these discretionary funds through ODOT. So again, we really feel this is about building community partnerships. Our senior and disabled services in the Grand Ronde and Polk County and Yamhill County area provide for both tribal citizens as well as non-tribal citizens. We don't tend to look at it in one or the other. Again, it's providing essential services for seniors and elderly and disabled. Finally, we feel that this really creates a lot of opportunities, again, for that delivery of services, because in a lot of cases, certainly in our case, we are the most efficient, one of the most efficient governments. I might want to watch what I say with our county commissioner in the back of the room. But we are one of the most efficient governments in the area to deliver these types of services. And I think that you will hear with his testimony that community partnership is something that really benefits all the citizens throughout. So with that, we would urge the passage of Senate Bill 180. It's a good bill. It's a good bill in the true spirit of government to government. Thank you.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. Justin, is there an opportunity for the tribes in Oregon to take this money and leverage it into additional money?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I don't believe so. I'm not familiar with the funding side. If we're looking at, are you asking about matching dollars or matching grants that could be mixed with federal funding? Or
I guess in my mind, I'm trying to figure out how to take the case that's being presented and make it as strong as possible. And I'm thinking, is there an opportunity to take the Elderly and Disabled Special Transportation Fund, and as it's being allocated to the tribes, is there an opportunity to leverage it with federal money or other money to increase the pot?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I would hope that in looking at tribal government, with state government and our local governments, and even the federal government, the more opportunities that are created with everybody at the table would present in the future for more positive steps or policy that could lead to, again, more dollars directed at ultimately benefiting elderly and disabled, or whatever program might be in the area. And I think as we see some, in this time of some budget tightening and budget crunch, I think you as elected officials and our elected officials really owe it to all citizens to look at working together and creating solutions for those communities, whether those are tribal dollars, federal dollars, or state dollars.
Justin, would you mind if I had the ODOT representative come up right now and we'll try to kind of get this thing clear in our mind, at least in my mind?
Sure.
I saw several heads nodding that there were in fact, opportunity to maximize these dollars with maybe some federal matches. The other question that I had would be, are presently the services that are being shared jointly, in other words, a county operation or a transit district that might be providing services to a tribe, is there any opportunity for either party to then exclude the other if we move forward with this, or do you have enough supervision authority to make sure that everyone continues to be served?
Chair George, committee members, I'm Martin Loring, administrator of the Public Transit Division within the Oregon Department of Transportation. If I may, there are at least three questions on the table. If I may attempt to answer Representative Smith's question first, the answer to that question is a simple yes. The state funds that are provided through the Special Transportation Fund program are the bureaucratic word, are fungible. They may be used for any one of a number of purposes, buying vehicles, funding operations, etc. And they may, and in fact are used by a number of governing bodies currently to provide match for federal grants to buy vehicles that transport the elderly and disabled. The hook from the state standpoint is that the transportation needs of the elderly and disabled must be served. But the formula funds that are currently provided to governing bodies in Oregon may in fact be used as match for federal grants, and they have been used that way. The question about are there opportunities to exclude, under current law, governing bodies are the sole authority on the proper use of the dollars granted to them. A little background. There are 36 counties in Oregon. In 28 of the counties, the Board of County Commissioners is the governing body responsible for the administration and implementation of the Special Transportation Fund program. In the other 8 counties, 5 transportation districts or mass transit districts are responsible. Why the mismatch in numbers? In the Salem area, the local mass transit agency is responsible for both Marion and Polk County, and in the metropolitan area, TriMet is responsible for Multnomah, Washington, and Clackamas County. Under current law, if the governing bodies aren't spending the money in a way that ODOT feels comports with legislative intent, there's nothing we can do. Representative Johnson didn't feel that was appropriate and proposed another piece of legislation, House Bill 3522, which was acted upon by this subcommittee and I believe subsequently approved by the full Ways and Means Committee last week, that directs the Oregon Department of Transportation to write rules covering not only the administration of the fund, as we've already done, but the implementation of the fund as well. So it would give us opportunity with a group of stakeholders to come up with a set of rules for consideration by the Oregon Transportation Commission that would, in fact, encourage cooperation and coordination as well. So we aren't able to do things now, but if the House and the Senate both think that bill is appropriate, then we'll have the opportunity to make sure that the problem Chair George referenced would not, in fact, take place.
Could can you, with the relationship that we currently have with nation-to-nation status and with Senate Bill 770, can you actually exercise any authority over the money that the tribes would be using? Because once it's transferred to them, then it becomes part of a nation status. Will you have any authority? Has there been any determination as to the legalities there? Or is it going to be part of the agreement that, in fact, that supervision would be maintained?
Chair George, that's a very good question. Among the many things I'm not, a lawyer is one of them. It is our intent to write contracts, and one of the issues that would be settled in the contract between the tribe and the state with respect to the money is whether disputes would be litigated in tribal courts or the courts of the state of Oregon. So that is yet to be determined, but the answer is we think we can enforce legislative intent, particularly under the provisions of 3522, should that become law. Currently, we had no ability to enforce legislative intent against counties, transportation districts, mass transit districts, or tribes, if you added them. Under our rules of law.
And certainly, I wonder, for the record, to understand that I certainly wasn't questioning whether the tribes would be, operating with integrity, because I would personally believe that that would be the case, that they would. But we have had problems with some of our other authorities who have, in fact, I think, not properly applied proper stewardship to the dollars. Let me ask this question, then, is I had someone in my office yesterday, and this person alleged that the potential was there to use these dollars, and bear with me on this, folks. I'm just relaying what I heard and was asked if I would ask this question, to, in fact, provide transportation to a casino. And I couldn't see anything that would have, the tribal insignia, senior and disabled transportation, being used to transport someone to a casino, other than possibly it was tribe members who might be going there to work or to actually enjoy the benefits. Is that even possible for that to occur?
Chair George, is it possible? Yes. I mean, the roads go there. I believe most of the casinos take care of the transportation needs. We'll gladly transport anyone who wants to be liberated of their dollars to the nearest casino on a moment's notice. We have had counties that organize social trips to casinos under the current structure.
Right.
We have advised them that we do not think that that's the highest and best use of these dollars, given all the medical and nutrition and other social service and socialization needs of the elderly and disabled. But currently it is up to the governing bodies to determine what the transportation needs of the elderly and disabled are.
Before we go to Representative Smith, I'm going to ask Justin. Justin, I know you guys have a nice bus fleet, and you actually have other carriers that are providing. Would you have any intention, if you, in fact, end up with a senior and disabled operation, to utilize that these buses, these facilities, for the purpose of transporting people to the casino for purpose of gambling?
Senator George, members of the committee, absolutely not.
Benny Smith?
Thank you, Chair George. First off, for the record, I'm up $65 in my visits to the casinos. The issue I'm struggling with on this is trying to figure out how to get the biggest bang for the buck with a limited resource. And I guess with both of you up here, I need comment on, and I'm going to use my home county, Umatilla County. I know that Umatilla County can take their dollars and use them throughout the entire county. If a senior in Hermiston needs to get to Pendleton or to tribal property, I know that bus can go from Hermiston to tribal property. What I want to know is, can a bus on tribal property be used to take folks to Hermiston? And can the folks in Hermiston still have access to that transportation for their need to go somewhere else? Does that question, is it a reciprocal agreement? Can
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I would say on behalf of the Grand Ronde Tribe, I have no doubt, as a non-reservation tribe, as a tribe that was terminated in the 50s, our reservation is obviously, and our membership is obviously spread throughout the entire area. And again, I think we need to step back and not look at these specific STF funds as us or them. And I think what you will see, and I'm fairly confident that all nine tribal governments in Oregon share a real community perspective. And what I am confident in the fact that these tribes, as governments, have the capability and the responsibility to provide for their tribal members and all the members in and around Indian country within the community. So I'm very confident that those types of services would take place.
Justin, you folks, I've been out there numerous times to see that you, in fact, do that. You have non-tribal members utilizing all the facilities out there in a very gracious and welcoming manner, and I think that's really important to get, because we do. I think Oregon is unique in the sense of the government-to-government relationships that exist here compared to some very contentious relationships in other states, and I think we're very blessed to have both sides reaching out to each other's communities and saying that we're going to help each other.
That's very true, Senator George. As you know, and members of the committee, our health and wellness center does serve the entire 35-mile radius in the community, and our elderly and disabled transport services do get people to and from that facility each day.
Ms. Smith, did you have any other questions? Or?
No.
Chair George, if I may, I would like, if I could have an opportunity to respond to to the representative's question. Chair George, Representative Smith, in terms of whether this bill gives the biggest bang for the buck, it simulates a couple of responses in my mind. In the narrow case of Umatilla County, the example that the representative raised, based on the best information we have today, there are about just under 3,000 people living, or tribal people living in Umatilla County. The county's population is about 70,000. If in allocating the formula monies, those 3,000 people were shifted from the county account, if you will, to the tribal account for the formula distribution, the county would lose about $5,000 in formula funds. The tribe, under the current arrangement, would receive $40,000. So in terms of Umatilla County, the geographic area, there'd be a $35,000 increase in funds available to be spent to meet the transportation needs of people living in Umatilla County, Indian people, non-Indian people.
Can I ask one follow-up?
Certainly, absolutely.
This is the question that I have to ask, and maybe I'm asking the wrong person and I need to wait for the county folks to come up. Then why are certain counties opposed to this bill? You've given me a case in point where there's actually a net benefit to a county, and yet they're on record in the paper of being opposed.
Chair George, Representative Smith, I can't speak for counties. There are a number of issues they've raised, the fiscal one, but I would add one additional thing. I personally don't think there's a fiscal issue in this bill. I think the bill is, or the issue embodied in this bill is the one that Justin Martin mentioned. You passed a law last session that requires states to look at their relationships with tribes. We did the analysis required. This bill was developed and supported by the department, the Transportation Commission, and the governor as our appropriate response to that legislative guidance. The policy issue is, are we right? Are we wrong? There are these peripheral issues, of which finances is one. Again, good luck being better than the carefulest planning. You've also passed another bill, House Bill 3231, out of this committee and Ways and Means last Saturday, which has the net effect of increasing the amount of money in the Special Transportation Fund by, my best guess, based on what I know today, it depends on what happens on our budget. Best guess today is about $1.5 million increase. So I don't think there's a fiscal impact in this bill for counties. But if there were, what you did at House Bill 3231 wipes it out.
Yeah, actually, Chair George, my question would be better directed to the county folks.
Okay.
I apologize.
Martin, that is to me, that was my issue when I had the opposition to the bill presented to me yesterday, was with the addition that we made, is there really a net effect of loss? But it would appear to me that there are no tribes in downtown Portland that I know of or in Salem. So rural communities, it would appear to me, are going to be the winners. The rural counties are going to be the winners in this, if this, in fact, 180 moves.
Chair George, you're absolutely correct.
Okay. Senator Morris.
There is a discrete amount of money. And if there's a gain on one, there has to be a corresponding loss on the other. And that goes without reason. The concern I have is that if we have an integrated delivery system that the counties are now serving, and the tribes are allowed to make a direct application and receive directly these funds, how do we continue to integrate the two? In the case of Worm Springs, if it's $35,000 or $38,000, is that going to gear up another separate program? Or is it going to be integrated, and then how is it integrated? And so those are the concerns that I've got. It doesn't seem to me that this whole issue is well crafted or designed in implementation.
Chair George, Senator Morris. Again, the issue is not whether tribes are eligible or not. Tribes have always been eligible to use these funds. The issue is whether the tribes should be at the table when these funding decisions are made or waiting outside to learn what happened at the table. And we believe the legislative direction that we've been given by Senate Bill 770 is that when we're running a state program that affects tribes, we ought to deal with those tribes on a nation-to-nation basis. And that's the only thing Senate Bill 180 does. Should service be coordinated? Absolutely. The tribes don't really run joint service with the county. They go to the county as an applicant. And under this bill, we have a very inefficient system. When the Klamath tribe goes to Basin Transit Service and asks for special transportation funds to support transportation services for their elderly and disabled, they write an agreement between them. We write an agreement with Basin Transit. We send the money to the transportation district. They cut another check to send it on. It's an inefficient system. Under Senate Bill 180, they would cut out the middleman, if you will, and work directly with the state. But we would hope, and we try to encourage coordination now to get the lowest cost service, the most coverage. This bill doesn't change that. We would try to encourage that as best we can in any case.
Follow up?
But my understanding is, under existing law, notwithstanding whatever's going through the process, that once the tribes receive the funds, you have virtually no oversight over how those funds are distributed.
Chair George, Senator Morris, that's correct under current law, with respect to any of the governing bodies, be they tribal or otherwise.
Representative Smith and Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Chair George. Based upon your comments about the integration of the service, why wouldn't it be simpler just to have the tribes at the table in the funding decisions with the county? We do it in economic development with regional strategy or rural investment. Excuse me. Why couldn't we do that with this fund?
Chair George, Representative Smith. Each governing body under current law must appoint. I mean, it is the responsible entity. They're the decision maker. They're also required to appoint an advisory committee to help them or come up with recommendations on how the money gets spent. A representative of tribal government couldn't be at the table making SDF funding decisions on a transit board because they're not a board member. They couldn't be at the table making funding decisions as a county commissioner because they're not a county commissioner. They're not entitled to vote when the county commissioners meet to make binding decisions on behalf of county government.
How come you follow up? How come you couldn't have an intergovernmental agreement where you had a board that was made up of county representatives and tribal representatives, where decisions are made and those decisions are then taken to the respective boards for ratification?
Mr. George, Representative, you could do that. In fact, tribal members could be appointed to special transportation fund advisory committees. To the best of my knowledge and belief, they don't currently serve in that capacity.
Want to follow up? Doesn't that, and again, I'm thinking out loud here, doesn't that lead to the greatest amount of coordination by having everyone at the same table working together rather than having separate tables in separate rooms doing their own transportation projects?
Jerry George, Representative Smith. I'm not sure I understand the specifics, but again, coordination is a good thing. We want to maximize coordination, collaboration.
Let me follow up. Based upon what Senate Bill 180 does, as I interpret it, is you really are going to have two different entities making two different decisions, potentially going in two different directions. And I guess what I'm asking is, what about having a board where they all come to the table and they as a group make a decision on how best to use this money, and then they take it back to their respective boards?
Chair George, Representative Smith, currently there are 33 tables at which SCF funding decisions are made. If this bill were to pass, that number would increase by some. Our best guess is 4, could be more. The maximum would be 9. There could be some other mechanism, as the representative suggests.
I just follow. I'm still struggling with how does it make sense in a county to have two different entities going two different directions relating to the same topic rather than having them all come together. In Umatilla County, my home county, they're all citizens of Umatilla County. And so what I don't understand is why is there not an opportunity for them to all work together? I'm struggling with why can't we work together on this?
Chair George, Representative Smith, I guess my answer is there is an opportunity. That opportunity exists now. It would exist if you approve Senate Bill 180. The issue, again, for the department is whether the state, as a sovereign, should be dealing with another sovereign, tribal governments, or whether we should ask that our fellow sovereign, the tribe, to go not directly to us, but through the county. And to the best of our knowledge and belief, the legislative direction we've received is that we should be dealing on a sovereign-to-sovereign basis.
Representative Hansen.
Okay. Well, a couple quick comments. One, Senator Morris mentioned that, yeah, there's a cost. If you take, and it seems to me, if you pull 160,000, which would be 4 times 40, out of the total pot, that there's going to be a decrease. In the counties that are most directly affected, Umatilla, Wasco, Jefferson, Polk, there's a net increase. That flow is going to come out of the other counties, though. But speaking from somebody from the metro area, that amount is, for like the metro area, so infinitesimal. I mean, 160 out of the total amount that would be coming, that would be the metro area, would be so minor that we don't have. Certainly, I'm not worried about it as a Multnomah County representative. And this is an issue we've got statewide. Whether you're dealing with a small county, a Sherman County, a Gillen County, Wheeler, the per capita basis looks real funny. But if you get down to the actual dollar amounts by a minimum grant, the impact on a large metropolitan area is very, very tiny and not really significant enough. And we've got a larger base of population that we can get some economies of scale and stuff that really, really make a difference compared to the needs of transportation in somebody in a pretty remote rural area. And that level of service is always going to be more expensive than if you're getting somebody to a medical facility that's only 2 miles away. That's a lot different than if it's 80 miles away. So I think we can have some variations in in the funding pattern. I'm concerned in terms of the overall coordination issues, but I think there's better ways to approach that than worry about it in this bill. One, through the administrative rules. And I don't care whether the coordination is between a tribal government and a county government or between adjoining counties. Mm-hmm. We want to get the biggest bang for the buck and to work on administrative rules to guarantee that there's collaboration and people are working together, I think is real important and something I hope would happen. But I think I don't think we have to deal with it directly in this bill. The other thing, though, that if you really want coordination to happen, the best way to do it is to put bucks in somebody's pocket. I mean, if the tribes have a pot of money and they're negotiating with an adjoining county with dollars, they can come to the table and say, this is the level of service or this is the types of service we want in on our reservation or for our people, and we've got some money to help pay for it. And now, is there a better way to pool our money and get better service? Mm-hmm. Rather than coming in and without being able to bring money to the table, it's a lot harder to get people's attention in terms of how you're going to improve that service. So I think I can probably support this if we get to work session, but maybe the way to address the coordination might be either through a budget note in the transportation funding bill that could address this to encourage the mm-hmm. department to work forward on administrative rules, or some other vehicle. But I think the dynamic of putting some money into the tribal pockets will increase the cooperation.
Okay, so I have Tanson, the person that's going to be coming up here next is Mike Probst. And I was going to ask Mike about cooperation that already exists. Martin, could I get you to stay there as we have just a couple more left in case there's any question relative to how this will interact with ODOT?
Happy to oblige, Chair George. Thanks.
Commissioner, welcome.
Thank you.
That was going to be my first question for you, is you're in a situation where you actually do work with another county as far as joint efforts to provide services.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I've got written testimony. Actually, not testimony. This is a letter from our Board of Commissioners, which is in favor of the bill. And I do serve on the Board of CARTS, which is a senior transportation committee that serves both Marion County, Polk County, and parts of Yamhill County. But it does not serve the portion of Polk County.
For the record, would you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Mike Probst, Polk County Commissioner. It does not serve the portion of Polk County that covers the Grand Round area. I'm on Board of Directors for Mid-Willamette Valley Senior Services Agency, which does cover all of Marion County, Yamhill County, and Polk County. So I'm pretty familiar with the senior and disabled issues. We deal a lot with the senior transportation issues. The Grand Round area that the tribe serves very intensive, although they do serve all of our county with transportation, because they have tribal members that live throughout all of our county and into the Salem area, but their base is the Grand Round area. We looked at trying to serve that area, and there was no economic way that we could serve that area. There wasn't enough passengers that economically we could run buses there. Polk County used to run a service by ourselves for seniors and disabled, and we couldn't do it. We actually quit running our senior transportation years ago, so we were without any transportation for seniors and disabled for a period of time, and that's when the tribe started theirs, when there was no senior transportation in Polk County at all, and then the tribe started it up. And then we started the CARTS program that was the joint program between Marion, Polk, and portions of Yamhill, which mainly serve the Polk and Marion and very little of the Yamhill because they have their own transportation system that is just Yamhill for seniors and disabled. And at that time, we took a look at the Grand Round area, and the tribe was then serving the seniors and disabled, and it made no sense for us to go in with another service into that area because they were very adequately serving that area. They were not serving just tribal members. They were serving anybody that needed the service.
Mike, let me interrupt you for a second. Are they getting support for that effort?
No. Okay. They're providing it with their own resources. They never did approach us for support. We did look at, well, you know, what would happen if we tried running a bus over there to connect to it, and there was no way it penciled out for us because of the distance. Even though they run their service whenever somebody needs it over to Dallas or Salem or wherever their people or anyone from that community needs the service, they provide it. So we've looked at it as a real vital service to our population. And so when this bill came up and we looked at it, that's when our board felt that it made a lot of sense because it just fit in with what they were doing. Even though it may take money away from one piece that we sit on a board, because the CART service that I'm on the board, it would take a little away from that and put into the pot that goes to the other service in another part of the county. The way we look at it doesn't matter. The main thing that is important is the services provided to people in Polk County. It doesn't matter if they're tribal members or non-tribal members, they're providing the service in Polk County. It doesn't matter if we're the board of directors or if the tribal members are board of directors. The main thing in transportation that counts is the services being provided. We don't really care who is providing it. And that's why we think this is a good bill. We really wouldn't care if the tribe was providing all of the transportation in Polk County as long as it was being provided. Why does it matter who provides it? If it was a private entity and non-government providing it, if that was the best entity there providing it, we could care less. In our situation in Polk County, in that particular instance, the tribe can provide it better than anybody else because they're situated in a situation out there that they can do it. It just makes sense to us. That's who should be doing it. We can't compete with them. So that's who should be doing it. So in turn, they should be able to participate in this pot of money. It just makes sense to us. And I know that's is contrary to AOC's position on this particular bill, but I don't know why. It shouldn't be. They should change their position.
He's going to be right behind you, Mike. Do you have a question from Senator Morris and then Representative Hanson? Did you have your hand up too?
No.
Okay. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess it depends on who is getting and who's giving.
Yes.
As to your perspective on this issue. My question is, and I think, Martin, maybe you can answer this, will we wind up with Polk County having a higher level of service than Linn County, for example? and do you wind up with uneven distribution? I mean, our goal in this whole program should be to provide equal access and equal benefits to the greatest for the population of Oregon, whether they're tribal members or non-tribal members. To me, that seems to be a basic equity issue. If this funding formula allows Polk County to be the beneficiary at the expense of Linn County, for example, is that good public policy? And I guess that's kind of where I fall on this issue in trying to weigh the merits of SB 180.
Martin, if I understood you right, if 3231 makes it through the process, this is almost going to be a zero loss to anyone because the additional amount comes in and these dollars would go out to the participants, additional participants. Is that correct for the record?
You're correct. Martin Line, ODOT Public Transit Division. You are correct. The revenue, as we understand, the revenue in 3231 will result in an increase for everyone, whether or not SB 180 passes.
And I want everyone to think about it too. We're not talking about $400,000 or $4 million per county. We're talking about $40,000.
Under the way we currently run the program, $40,000 is the minimum. Yes.
Right. Representative Hanson.
Just a question to the commissioner from Polk County. Is this the first time you've ever disagreed with AOC on it?
No. For some reason, our county, maybe it's where we're situated, is in disagreement once in a while with AOC. I think similar to when you were on the commission, that happened too. Seems like you and I agreed once in a while. We were the two that were in disagreement with AOC.
You're being consistent.
Yes.
It's a rebel county that fits me very well. Representative Krieger.
Something comes to light in this conversation because his attitude, I think, is similar to my wife's, and I understand why, because they're cousins and it's genetics.
Mike, I wouldn't answer that question. For Representative Smith.
Following up on Senator Morris's question, is it possible to get data showing what the increase and the decrease is to each of the counties should House Bill 3231 not become law, just so we can see the effect independently?
George, Representative Smith, yes, certainly. We'd be happy to provide that to the committee.
Any further questions? Oh, excuse me, go ahead.
I'm not sure Senator Morse ever got an answer to this question.
Well, I think I know what the answer is. One county is a loser. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. One county is a loser, the other is a gainer. Even if the pot increases, you still have a different distribution formula by virtue of one county being the beneficiary of having a tribe residing within that county versus another county that does not.
Fair, George. Senators,
that's the question.
Currently, if the Umatilla example is the easiest one because I know the numbers in my head, they've got about 70,000 people. So when you run the formula allocation, they get about $1.83 times 70,000, which if my arithmetic works out, is about 131,000. If you move 2,937, just under 3,000 Indians from the county account, if you will, to the tribal account, they get 67,000 times $1.83, or about 126. So the county would get a little bit less. The tribe would get $1.83 times 2,927, plus the way we do it now is the, if you run the numbers, that doesn't come up to 40,000. It comes up to some number. We'd move dollars over from the discretionary account to get up to that 40. So the county would be more money spent in that county, but it wouldn't come out of any other county's formula allocations.
Because they're coming from
it's the same number of people in that county. It's just about, and that does not change. It just, what changes is whether the county gets credit or the transportation district gets credit for those people, or whether the Indians get credit in the formula for those people.
Well, I tell you, we're not putting money in the state, and I don't understand that, man.
That's okay. That's why I was going back to you.
It's left in the pot then for people to apply for grants. So what there's a pot of money there, and what's not spent is left in the pot, and then everybody applies for grants.
in the pot?
That's correct.
The pot shrinks because of this. But somebody did have to print that money to put it in the pot, didn't they?
Okay. Representative Smith, did you have a question? Was that answered?
Senator Morris asked my question.
Okay.
I'm
Mike, were you finished?
Yes.
Oops, thank you. All right. The next person is Bill Pinhall, Association of Oregon Counties.
Unless he changed his position.
Well, you were convincing, all right. You know, Bill, in the past, you had to really sweat Mike and I, but we're getting so crippled up, we're no threat to
him. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bill Penhollow, representing the Association of Oregon Counties. But you do have younger individuals coming along, like Representative Hansen, who's in that position as well.
Swings a mean pipe wrench.
Yes. Mr. Chair, we do have some concerns about Senate Bill 180. I would like to start off my testimony, though, talking about the program generally, because it is a very, very important program to a element of our society, those that are seniors, and I'm fast approaching that point where I may be taking advantage of these services, may even be eligible now, I don't know, as well as those that are disabled. And this program, particularly in our rural areas, provides those necessary life support kinds of services to get people to see their doctors, to see their dentists, to get prescription, to get food and other necessities of life. And I'm with Commissioner Probst and Mr. Martin, who testified earlier. The important thing is to provide these services in the best possible way with a very limited resource. Our concerns, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, are really threefold. Number one is the management of the system. And we're concerned that by fragmenting the current system where it's based on counties and transportation districts providing this service, that shifting those funds may benefit certain counties where there are reservations, but to the expense or the program of those counties where there are not reservations. Currently, I believe there are 12 counties that receive the minimum allocation of $40,000. There are, I believe, 16 counties that receive dollars under the formula on a per capita basis. We're concerned that the management of those systems in this time of scarce dollars, because counties' general fund dollars are in the same situation that the state is. We're really facing budgets with reduced dollars available for services that we're providing. And there are not the resources there to take it from the general fund to backfill these programs if there are reductions. So we're concerned about maintaining the level of service for all of the citizens of Oregon that benefit from this program. Secondly, and related to that, is, as Senator Morris points out, we see in this whole process some winners and losers. Some counties will benefit because tribes within their boundaries would be receiving additional revenues, and we would, quite frankly, hope and believe that they would probably bring those dollars to the table along with the county and benefit their citizens. But by the same token, there could be an impact. Now, Mr. Loring is talking about another bill that is floating around this legislative process that could reduce or eliminate that impact, but that, as other measures, has not passed and is not law at this time. the third area that raises concerns for us is that this program is funded in large part from cigarette revenues. 2 cents of the cigarette tax goes to transit districts. Another 2 cents goes to counties, and revenue from an additional 2 cents goes to the cities. We are concerned that this legislation would set a precedent of allocating other shared revenues that counties share or cities share with the state of Oregon. We have many years ago relinquished the ability to impose a cigarette tax in favor of the state collecting a cigarette tax. Same situation with our liquor revenues. And we're concerned that passage of this could create this as an issue in upcoming legislative sessions. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, those are our concerns. We are interested in stretching these dollars as far as possible in providing the services that we need to provide to this element of our society, that being our seniors and our disabled. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Martin, who actually gets this money? I mean, we've been on this side of the table trying to increase it this session and trying to make sure that there's more out there because we care about it. But who actually receives? I mean, you send checks out. Who do you send them to? Do you send them to county commissioners?
Chair George, Senator Dukes, we send the checks to the governing bodies. All the checks go through the governing bodies. In most cases, the money is ultimately used by someone else, a private not-for-profit corporation. But the way the statute requires, the governing bodies are we have contracts and agreements with them. They get the money. They, in turn, send it on to the ultimate users.
In some cases, I'm assuming that could be a city?
Senator Dukes, yes. In some cases, it's cities. In other cases, counties provide some of the service themselves.
What if you have an intergovernmental agreement? I don't know if we still have one. We used to between Clatsop and Tillamook for senior and disabled transportation and a governing body on over that intergovernmental agreement. Would they directly receive it? Are they an entity that you would write a check to if there was such a thing?
Chair George, Senator Dukes, we would write the check to the governing body rather than an entity that was created by governing bodies.
In this case, it would be 2 counties. Who gets the check?
Chair George, Senator Dukes, we probably have to ask our council. We have counties that contract with another entity to run the program for them. Douglas County contracts with the Council of Governments there. Lane Transit District actually has relied on the Council of Governments to do a lot of the work. They tried to cut out the middleman and simplify administration. We were advised by council that option was not available to us under the current statute.
So the county can pick and choose amongst providers, or even in the case of one situation that I have choose to give to a provider after the state has decided that provider is not meeting the needs?
Chair George, Senator Dukes, under current statute, that is a possibility. Thankfully, it doesn't occur very often.
Situation where we have a provider that is failing to provide.
Mm-hmm.
And stopped, but it appears that we may not. We all understand local political pressure. And if the funding doesn't get stopped, it's a true waste, in my opinion, of money.
Mr. Chair, if I may comment on that too, Senator Dukes, and Martin, correct me if I'm correct, but I think what you indicated earlier, that by governing body, 28 of the 36 counties check is written to the governing body of the county or to the county. In 8 situations, it's written to a transportation district. And I think in the current situation now, for instance, your former relationship with Tillamook County there still may be some intergovernmental relation, but they have established a transportation district, and I believe received the funds.
So in Clatsop's case, then, Martin, the money actually goes to the transit district?
Chair George, Senator Dukes, that's correct. Bill is absolutely correct. Eight counties, the five transportation districts or mass transit districts are the governing body. There are three mass transit districts.
So we're already sending this money to a variety of places, depending upon who's doing the system and has a board to handle it.
Chair George, Senator Dukes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Representative Smith.
I still have some gray area that I need cleared up back on Senator Morris's question or statement that we're not printing money. So there's a pot. I just want to run through this. There's a pot of money. A certain portion of that pot is allocated based upon a funding formula with a baseline amount for each county, but then there's still a portion that's left over. In the event that House Bill 3231 doesn't become law, that's a separate issue, the formula is going to remain the same, but that remaining discretionary money is then going to shrink to make up the difference.
Chair George, Representative Smith, that is correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
One additional piece of information. What the current statute tells the department is first take off the top of this money what you need to run the program, 4%, something like that. Take what's left and send 75% of it out by population. So we do that allocation. And then we fund, and what the statute says is, each governing body gets 2,000 to administer the program. Don't ask me to defend the 2,000. It doesn't really cover their costs. That's what the statute said in 85 when it passed. That's been changed. So each county currently, and then for those counties that are low population counties, the statute tells us or told the commission to adopt rules that establish a reasonable minimum allocation for governing bodies.
So follow up right there. So does this bill address the statutory requirement on that funding formula?
Chair George, Representative Smith, no. As I tried to make clear my testimony, but apparently failed to do, this bill addresses one issue and one issue only, whether tribes should be at the table or waiting outside the room to determine what happened.
Follow up on that. Mm-hmm. So then that, if Senate Bill 180 were to become law, is another piece of legislation required to modify the statutory funding formula?
Chair George, Representative Smith, if the legislature wanted to modify the funding formula, that would have to be done. Well, I suppose this, you need legislative expert. You can do it in any bill that has the proper relating clause.
But it would have to be done.
Yes. If so, no.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, maybe I can
help
out.
I'm just not that sharp of a guy. I apologize.
I think the formula is set by rule versus statute.
Okay, I apologize because I just heard statutory formula.
Yeah, if I may follow up on that, and Martin, correct me if I'm wrong, but the funding for this basically comes presently from about half of it from the cigarette tax, half of it from the general fund. The statutes say that 75% of that money will go into the distribution for services, the formula account. 25% goes into the discretionary grant program. That 75% then is allocated to the counties and districts by formula that's adopted by rule. As Mr. Loring indicated, that there is the administrative fee that's fixed in the statute.
Okay, let me stop right there. Okay. Just so I can, if that's okay, Chair George. I'm assuming there's language, though, in that 75% that says that shall go to X.
Chair George.
Do we need to modify that to say X and tribes? And if we do, where is that?
Chair George, Representative Smith. Two things. With respect, I usually agree with almost everything that says. The 75% and how it gets allocated is statutory. It's not rule.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, it says allocated by population to governing bodies based upon, I think it's the most current PSU population estimate. This what this bill, you know, legislative council drafted this in the way it was deemed best, and what it does is it changes the operational definition of governing bodies. The operational definition of governing bodies currently includes mass transit districts organized under one provision of ORS 267, transportation districts organized under another provision of ORS Chapter 267. It would add yet a third category, federally recognized Indian tribal governments that have services for the elderly disabled. So I believe it takes care of that question, and there is no proposal on the table to change the formula.
Page 1, Section 4. And then we have the addition of the tribes in the description mm-hmm. of above under Section 3. So to me that covers it, but here again, I'm no attorney.
Let me do this right now, if I could. We're going to run. We are long, and I have folks here that wanted to talk to us about House Bill 3002. We're not going to get to you. I noticed that none of you are from over 100 miles, so bear with us on this. We'll have you back. And if there's no further questions for Bill, I have one other person who'd like to testify. In fact, he's about to burp, and that is Roger Martin.
Thank
we're not going to get to a work session, so if any of you are needing to leave, well, that'll be interesting.
I wouldn't miss this term.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Roger Martin. I'm the lobbyist for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. I'm also the executive director of the Oregon Transit Association. If you spend this much time on this bill, we're not going to adjourn until a year from now. I've never heard so much detail, misinformation, and so forth. This is all about money and who controls the money. The big loser in this is TriMet. The second biggest loser is Lane Transit. Third biggest loser is Salem Area Transit. All of them are in favor of the bill because it's such an infinitesimal amount of money. Counties don't supply this service. Transit districts do. Nonprofit people do. In Umatilla County, it's the city of Pendleton that contracts with a taxi company. And we support the taxi company. Nobody's going to get screwed in this whole thing, but the county of Umatilla County now gets the money. That goes through them. And they don't want to lose control of the money. They even have portions of this money that goes into a little fund on the side, a reserve fund. So if you want the money to go for best uses, give it directly to somebody that supplies the service. It's just unbelievable. We've talked about the first accusation was the tribes don't pay cigarette tax, so why should hell they get any money? I urge you to call the Department of Revenue. They will tell you that we have model contracts in the state of Oregon between the tribes. Umatillas have been collecting cigarette revenue, given to the state. And the question Representative Smith has is how about cooperation? Well, let's talk about cooperation. There's a advisory committee in Umatilla County. It's chaired by a guy by the name of Roland, and I've got it right here, Roland Reynolds. He's the chair of the advisory committee. He refuses to allow any of the tribe to belong to that advisory committee. We've asked repeatedly. He won't even tell us when the damn meetings are being held.
Question, Chair George. Those are very accusatory statements.
That's true.
How is it his authority who serves on that rather than the county
commission? It's an advisory committee. My only point is no tribal member has been asked to be, even though we've asked the question. In early May of this year, the tribe was notified that the $4,000 that they were currently applying for would not be granted to them. They would be cut off because anticipation Senate Bill 180 would pass. In early June, the county commissioner contacted the tribe and said, well, gee, if Senate Bill 180 doesn't pass, we might restore the $4,000. But again, Umatilla County will come out with about $35,000 more for the services that the county doesn't provide, that is provided in a cooperative effort. And I'll tell you one thing. The Umatilla tribe is not going to start its own transit agency. We're going to continue to work with the city of Pendleton. If this bill passes, what we're going to do is use whatever funds we get to help buy a bus. And incidentally, you asked the question, let me give you the answer. Federal 5311 funds are available. No tribe has ever applied, but they can apply through
Martin Loring's office for those kind of funds. I'm the guy that goes to Washington and has to lobby with our U.S. senators and congressmen to try to figure out what the state will get. And communities all over the state, smaller than Indian tribes, have applied and gotten funds which give up to 80% of the cost of buying a bus. So you're getting more bang for the buck. You know, you don't have the authority to have a work session on this bill, and I'm just going to suggest something to you that really irritates me. When you go behind the scenes in this legislature and ask the question, why can't we have a work session? The answer comes back, well, you know, there's some folks around here that think the damn Indians get too much already. Now, that's an attitude that existed. Nobody in this room, don't get me wrong, nobody in this room has said it, but if you ask enough people behind the scenes, that's the answer you're going to get. And I thought that was an attitude that went on a long time ago. This is about transportation. The Pendleton system transports everybody, Indians and non-Indians. And we're just part of the system, and we put whatever money we in directly into that. And we wouldn't be building a reserve. And I think it gets more bang for the bucks. As I said before...
Let me interrupt you and ask that question. You said something a minute ago relative to being back in Washington, D.C. and negotiating and four additional dollars come out here. To me, if I had my little portfolio of things I was going to, you know, try to convince legislators, congressmen to go along with, and I could say, listen, I have four or five tribes who are participating in this, don't you think that would be worth some consideration?
Certainly it would be with the two or three people that are most influential in Oregon's delegation, the two senators and Congressman Walden, who are the ones that have been most effective in getting those kind of funds that range from somewhere between $8 and $12 million a year come to Oregon to help buy buses and vans. Now, not all these are buses. In many communities, it's a van. It's a taxi cab. And most of these systems in rural Oregon are run by nonprofit organizations. It's amazing, and we've given that flexibility to the systems all over the state because I don't think it's our job in Salem to tell people in Umatilla County or Malheur County how to best provide that service. It may be through a church. It may be through a civic organization, as it is in Prineville. Mr. Chairman, I certainly hope you and those members of this committee, all of whom voted except for Senator Morris, who wasn't a member then, for Senate Bill 770 last year, will find out if you can have a work session and pass the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Roger Martin?
I think he's inflated a little.
This was a therapy session we were just doing. And because I was watching him over there with his pent up emotion. And Roger, I really appreciate your testimony because you and I, we always say what we're thinking. And it's a good thing. Listen, this has been very informative for each one of us. And I want to apologize again for being late getting here. And because no matter what anyone will say about the reason for it, it was my fault for being late. And so with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 180A, and with the map of the gavel, and we will carry over, yes, House Bill 3002. Thank you very much. And with the map of the gavel, we will be adjourned.
Excuse me, we're fun in here.